Again, church, you can be seated this evening. We've been in a series, finished up last year and then going into this year, on the power of one's words. We've been talking about decreeing and declaring. I believe, if memory serves me correct, we're about part four in this series. We talked about our fast, we talked about our media fast. Our focus is reading the word. I know sometimes folks feel like, well, it's not that necessary to read the word. I feel that if God didn't want us to read it, he wouldn't have put it in print. And that's a good reason why it's important that we learn to read, know how to read. And the Daniel's fast, week number two, we're going to talk about praying the word. Daniel was praying for 21 days, and you can read the history of the Daniel's fast going into the book of Daniel itself. And so we'll have the Daniel's fast, and basically that's absence of meat, it's absence of dairy. There's varied Daniel's fasts, and I'm not going to determine for you which one you're supposed to take or one you're supposed to fast. I'll leave that to you and to your individual families. Daniel's fast, and then we go into, there's a lot of beans and stuff that you can eat in the Daniel's fast. So, I think it's a lot of good spices. I kind of backpedaled a little bit here. I guess I'm a little hungry right now. I'm always hungry when I get up here. And that's something, it's because I don't eat before I preach, okay? Just so you know that. So the Daniel's fast, Culver's is not Daniel's fasting, okay? So if you go to Culver's, it's not Daniel's fast. They may have something on their menu that would match that, probably some sort of a salad without any meat, without any cheese, anything like that. But anyway, and then our focus, we have a sacrificial fast, which is week three. For some of our families, our children, it's hard for them to fast for a week. So you might have a sacrificial fast for your family. What we're looking to do here is we're not trying to take and just like show God how well we can fast, okay? Understand this. I mean, God doesn't care if you fast 30 days or if you fast 2 days or if you fast one meal. A lot of it is the intentions and the intent behind what you're doing. What we want to do is this is an opportunity. We have a lot of young families and a lot of families in this church, and it's an opportunity for us as parents to train our children. So when we come to the sacrificial fast, maybe it's just not going and having ice cream at Culver's every night on the way home from school, okay? My grandkids, they're looking forward. They're going to be doing the sacrificial fast, the portion, and part of their sacrificing is they don't go to Culver's after school. And it was so hilarious listening to my grandkids talking about their fast and how dramatic fasting and how hard it is and such. But what we're doing is we're instilling principles into our children. And they will grow. Those principles will grow. They will expand. And there will be a day where that when we have our media fast, Daniel's fast, and sacrificial fast, your young children that are young now will grow up and they will know and understand the value of sacrifice. So sacrificial fast for your family, it may be much different for your children than for you. What we're looking to do here is we want to have 150 or 200 or 300 people start the fast, and we want to have 300 people finish the fast. That's what we're looking to accomplish here, okay? So it doesn't do any good if we have call on a 30 or 40-day fast and one person out of 40 does or out of 500 accomplishes that. We want to be able to take and accomplish something. And so that's our 3 weeks of fasting. And you, as a family, I will allow you to determine how and the direction that you want to go. But our focus on week three is going to be living the Word, sharing the Word. It's very important that we read the Word. It's important we learn how to pray the Word. And then it's important that we not just learn how to read it and pray it, but we learn how to live it. Because that's when it makes a big difference. Reading the Word and praying the Word makes a big difference in our lives. But living the Word makes a big difference, not only in our life, but it makes a big difference in the lives of those around us. All right? A happy Christian is a productive Christian, typically a healthy Christian. And that's what we're looking to do. So give them a little bit of a review on from our lesson that we've been. We've heard the expression. We've talked about the expression, you are what you eat. And I believe that to a degree, but more precise saying would be you are what you speak. We're talking about words here. The words that come from our mouths yield a much greater power than what we realize. We read in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's not in the power of the plate, it's in the power of the tongue. And if we realize the power of what can come from our mouth, we would be far more careful in choosing our words. Even quoting the Word of God, we must quote by the Spirit of God, not by our own motivations. A lot of times we get caught up in saying, well, this is what the Bible says, and we quote a scripture, perhaps maybe even misquote a scripture. And it's not what the Bible is intended for us, not the correct intention, but it's our own motivation. It's real easy for us to take cherry-pick scriptures at times. We read 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter kills, referring to the law, but the Spirit gives life. Our key scripture in this series is Matthew 17, and reading from starting in Matthew 17 and Matthew 18, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives warnings to those. He talks about false teachers and all of these different things that he's giving warning to, and giving warning about false prophets. But in the King James Version, this reads in chapter 7, verses 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, we understand this. We've made this very clear all along in this series that Jesus here is not talking about trees, okay? He's talking about words that we speak. The words that we speak are fruit, and we are identified by that fruit. That's why everyone here knows someone who has bad fruit, which means they have bad words, they have bad language, they're negative all the time, their attitude is terrible all the time, and those are people that gossip and slander, they backbite, they cuss. That's not good fruit. Jesus is saying you're known by your fruit. You're known by how you talk. You're known by your language that you use. So understand, we're going to review a little bit here from Sunday morning. We read in Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw the power of the prophetic word when he had a conversation with God and the Valley of the Dry Bones. You can go back and read that or listen to Sunday morning's message. But Ezekiel saw the power of the prophetic word when he partnered with heaven's agenda by prophesying into a hopeless situation. Now, we have to understand here, prophecy and speaking prophetical words, we must be aligned with our will, and God's will must be aligned together. You just can't get out there and say, well, you know what? I'm going to just start prophesying here because I feel that there's some things happening in this church that shouldn't be happening, so I'm going to just do a tongues interpretation or a prophetic word. That doesn't work. Okay? Understand, whatever you prophesy has to be lined up and fit with Scripture. Okay? God is never going to tell you something and so, or someone else is, God is not going to say, Brother Ben Smith here, God is, Brother Seidel is not going to go up to Brother Ben and give him, this is a prophetical word, Brother Ben, I want you to hear me, and give him a prophetical word that doesn't line up with God's word and doesn't line up with something that Brother Ben is already praying about. How many of you had someone just come up and just say, I've got a word from God, I got a prophetical word for you, and they tell you something, and it has absolutely nothing. It just kind of like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Where'd that come? What am I missing, God? Well, it may not be what you're missing. It might be what they're missing. Okay? If someone comes up to you and says, I got a word for you, it better be something you're already praying about. Okay? We have a lot of those, I got a word for you. We have a huge crowd of people in Pentecost that say, I got a word for you. I got a word from God for you. It should be something you're already seeking God about. See, God doesn't go contrary to his word. God doesn't do things contrary to his word. So God has principles that he works by, and those principles are always going to be the same. God's not going to change his principle because he's dealing with Glenn Rossing versus dealing with Greg Schlobaum versus dealing with John Repka. When God says, thou shalt not, it's thou shalt not. It doesn't matter who. So we have to understand that when we get into prophetic words, we have to be very careful that we're not inserting our own desires or our own thoughts in place of what God has desired and what God's thoughts. So turning it around, when we look at Ezekiel, God was speaking to him. He was speaking back to God. God was commanding him to prophesy into a helpless situation and turn that situation around. How did it turn around? Not because of Ezekiel's voice, but because Ezekiel powered or aligned himself up with God, and it was God speaking through. It was God's power and God's authority, and God was trying to show Ezekiel just exactly what he has the potential to do. He was trying to take a prophet. He was trying to teach him perhaps the power of prophecy that has a potency to bring about a supernatural change. If Ezekiel would have gone out there on his own and just spoke to these bones and started to command them, nothing would have happened. But you see, God said, listen, I want to show you something today. I want to show you the power of a prophetic voice. And God desires to use the church today in a very powerful way through prophetic words. I believe that prophecy is the doorway into the supernatural. God has given his people kingly authority and legislative power through dominion. We have to understand one thing. When God said in the Genesis 1, chapter 1, and he gave Adam and Eve dominion over the garden. He gave them dominion over the animals. He gave them dominion over the plants. God allowed Adam to name the plants and all the animals. He was dominion over all of the beasts of the field. So given that, when the enemy, the snake, came into the garden, when Satan came in the form of a serpent, Adam had the power, the authority, the dominion to cast out Satan. I don't know exactly how the garden was laid out. I don't know. I know there were gates going in and out, that you could go in and out of the garden, but God gave Adam the power and the authority to pick up that serpent, take it to the gate, and cast it out. He never changed that process. When man fell, God didn't take away his dominion over the earth. We are still in charge of our world. It's just the enemy has got this funk on humanity that says, I am in charge. God never designed it that way. He put humanity in charge of this planet. So when we look at that, we can read in Job, you will also declare a matter, and it will be established unto you, and the light will shine upon your ways. Here, Job is making a statement. God is making a statement that you will put, also decree a matter, that we have power and authority in what we say and how we say it. What we decree today is the reality that you and I will live in tomorrow. And we have to understand that heaven responds. God will always respond to his own word. This is where faith comes in as well, and understanding how faith and words and decree and declare all comes together. So what we decree today is the reality that we will live in tomorrow. And heaven, God responds to his own word, and he responds to his will for our lives. When we speak his will for our lives, then prophetic fulfillment is set into motion. Last year, we talked about finding God's will for our lives and what our purpose is. The reason this is so important as we go into a new season, as we go into a new year, God desires for every one of us to fulfill our purpose. We hopefully by now know what we are here for and to do. Now it's time to step in. And when we speak his will for our lives, a prophetic fulfillment is set into motion. This is not a name it and claiming teaching, but it's decreeing God's will from heaven to earth. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and so often we struggle every day. We struggle every day, and how do I use the authority that has been given to us? I want to spend a little bit of time this evening talking about prophesying over your day. Prophesying your day. This is not name it and claim it. We're talking about partnering up with God and his word and speaking it over our lives. Did you know that your tongue, your words, hold creative power? I'm not talking about us being able to say, let there be light, and all of a sudden light appears, but our words have creative power. Our words have creative authority. It is through your words that things can be created. See, your tongue is the key that can bind and loose things into your life every day. Every day. And we have to understand this. I do not like being around negative people. I will just tell you that. I don't like negative conversation. Sometimes you have to deal with negative things, but I try to always help myself to understand that if it's a problem and someone comes to me with a problem, it's not really my problem. They're asking to help or help in a solution. It's not my problem, it's their problem. And so many times people want to take their problems and they want to put it on your back. On your shoulders. I just want to give you this little bit of advice here tonight. If you have somebody that's constantly trying to dump their problems on you, you just need to declare to them, I'm not taking your problem. You need to learn how to deal with it yourself. A lot of times it's just as simple as they don't want to go into the Word of God. Or if they do go into the Word of God and they find out that, boy, there's a whole lot more things I'm going to have to do, and I don't want to do all of this. Listen, if you don't want your life to get better, it's not going to get better. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to make sure that I continue in my life because I want my life to get better. I want to grow in God. If you don't want to grow in God, don't be a boat anchor to me. Don't be a boat anchor to the person next to you. You know, it's just as easy for you to come up here as it is for anybody else. So when we have altar call and you want this and you have all these things you want, you're not willing to take a stand and you're not willing to step forth to better yourself, then don't blame it on anybody but yourself. It's your words. I can't save you. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. I can't help you repent. That's something that we have to do. That's something that God expects us to do. We talk about this. I guess we have the power to prohibit or permit things from happening in our lives. And sometimes it just boggles my mind at how many jams some people can get themselves into. It's like, how is this humanly possible? But you see, it's humanly possible because they don't understand how this all works. They're constantly making poor decisions. So I want to ask, are you ready to change your life by your decrees and what you prophesy over your life every day? One of the definitions when we look at the word decree is an order of decree by decision. It comes back to choices. It comes back to what we determine every day. Understand, church, our destiny is determined by the decisions that we make. Poor decisions equals poor lifestyle, equals poor life, equals being a bummed out all the time. I can't help you determine and decide. You have to determine that for yourself. In other words, our decisions determine our destinies. We got to understand our decisions are made, our choices are made, and our choices that we make, sometimes we have to make hard choices. Sometimes we have to look at things and say, this is the hardest decision that I've ever had to make. And I look in my own life and I go back over the past. I've only lived my life. I don't know what it's like to even live my wife's life. Even though we live together and we have for 38 years, we've been married. I don't know what it's like to spend one day inside of her mind. But I know what it's like in my own life, and I know that I have suffered and she has suffered because of poor decisions that I have made. And sometimes we hear that statement, well, some bridges you need to burn. And I've had people tell me, oh, you got to be careful. You don't want to burn too many bridges. Listen, I want to declare to you tonight, decree to you tonight, that some of you need to start burning some bridges. That's the reason why you never become successful in God the way God wants you to be successful, because there are some bridges you're not willing to burn because you perhaps at some point in time may feel that that bridge might be an escape. That's the truth. You know what I did in my life? I didn't want to burn certain bridges because across those bridges were certain habits, and at certain times of my life, I felt like I needed to depend upon that. So, well, I don't want to make this decision. So what ends up happening is we live our whole lives in between where God wants us to be and where we feel like we want to be, and we're not where God wants us to be, and we're not where we want to be. We're in this no man's land here, and it's the worst feeling. It's a horrible feeling. Because you come to church and you feel a lot of times, I'm talking to the church here tonight. You come to church a lot of times, you're like, boy, did the pastor, man, I feel, man, what a bummed out message. You know, I really needed to be lifted up tonight. And it was just nothing but a bummer. You know why it's a bummer? Because you haven't made up your mind yet. You haven't made up your mind yet. You haven't made up your mind on whether or not you're going to serve God, you're going to live by His word, or you're going to find some place that you're going to live partially. So you live, you can't continually sit on a picket fence and be comfortable. And at some point in time, God's going to say, listen, I'm going to either push you forward, or I'm going to push you back, and I'm going to push you out. We talk about pruning. We talked about this a while back. Sometimes God prunes. So when we look at all of this, I believe that in our lives, there are bridges. Some of us, early in the year, we need to get out that spiritual gas can and put some diesel fuel with it, and we need to take and walk over that bridge, and we need to start that thing on fire and make sure we get off of that on the right side. You see, our destiny is determined by the decisions we make. We have the power to prophesy over our day. The outcome of that day is the result of how well we align our faith with heaven's point of view. How well we align our faith with God's perspective and God's agenda and speak it out without fear, as Brother Henry spoke about Sunday morning, without fear or reservation. We command and change our day by prophesying God's will each day for our lives. I've gone through times, listen, September, October, November, I struggled. I had a rough time. I'm not trying to go back and beat a dead horse here, but I'm just like, God, this is not what I thought. This isn't what I expected. I didn't see this coming. I'm trying to follow your will and all of this, you know. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we're seated in heavenly places right now with Jesus Christ. You know what happened to me? I got my focus off of heavenly places, and I started focusing on where I'm at right here and right now, and what do I have to do to get out of this? You see, we have to understand, from that realm in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, from that realm, that is the realm where we can prophesy over our day. I want you to write this down. If the enemy tries to frustrate your day, just open your mouth and frustrate all of hell with the word of God. That is my motto of faith this year, that every time the enemy comes against me and tries to make my day a mess, I'm going to take and prophesy using the word of God to open up my mouth and speak from heavenly places and try to make hell as miserable as I can make it for that day. If he's going to make my day miserable, then I'm going to make his miserable. You see, I believe that every Spirit-filled believer can prophesy by the Holy Spirit to frame our day and the world around us. What does Paul tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18? This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. What is Paul telling him? Listen, I'm going to charge today. There are prophecies. There are prophetic words that have been spoken over your life. And those words have power, and those words have authority. And what is he goes on to say? Those prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you're going to be just a good, likable man. It says, no, he says, but by them you may wage the good warfare. Timothy knew what he was talking about when it comes to warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. Listen, whether you realize it or not, there's a prophetic word over your life, and prophetic words may come into one person's life over a number of different ways. A lot of you children, a lot of you young adults that are now married and are having kids on your own, there were prophetic words prayed over you by your parents. Some of you are reaping blessings in your life right now because of words that were prayed over you when you were just an infant. Do you not believe that? Some of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those words prayed over us. I know I had a mother and a father, and a lot of you good folks here at Calvary Gospel Church prayed for me for many, many, many years when I was out doing stupid stuff. You see, prophetic words, they can come in through a preacher's preaching. Maybe you're at a camp meeting, or you're at some conference somewhere, and the preacher begins to preach in prophetic words. You can feel that he begins to speak to you, and God begins to confirm things in your own heart, in your own mind. Prophetic words can come to you over a mother, a father, a loved one, a grandmother, a grandfather, all different ways. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God speaks to man. See, the word you have been seeking, perhaps as you're sitting in a Sunday school class or in a youth class, it can come through someone of spiritual authority in your life. Or sometimes it can come through God's written word. See, prophecy is a word from God about your future. And not just your future, but your family's future. This is where it's important, dads. This is where it's important that we know the Word of God better than we know the Chilton's Manual. That's a pull something out from years ago. Some of you probably don't even know. I don't know what they call them now. The new automotive manuals and all this and that. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying we need to know our way around the Word of God better than I know my way around the plumber's code. You see, God tells us that prophecy, it's not just words. It's a weapon. Did you know that? It is a weapon. God charged Timothy to wage a good war. He says, Timothy, take those prophetic words that have been spoken over your life, and you take those and you wage a good spiritual war over the enemy. How many times do we do that? You see, victory results when we use a prophetic word spoken over our lives, as well as the lives of our children, our families. So many young people, young couples, you want to know why God's blessings are flowing through your lives? It's because your parents have been praying for you. I'm thankful This is why this church is in the position it is in tonight, is because for generations, saints of God that have passed on to be with the Lord have prayed prophetic words over this body. That's why we're here. As servants of God, we're servants of God, but even more than that, we're God's ambassadors. I used to think this was kind of silly analogy. Well, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Who wants to be an ambassador? I guess maybe, you know. But I started to look this up, started to look into this. You know, an ambassador has no power. He has no power, and he has no authority on his own. You see, but he has the authority. This is where it gets really good, because we're ambassadors with Christ. We have no power and we have no authority on our own, but it is the authority of the country that we represent. So if I'm an ambassador of the United States of America, I'm an ambassador of a powerful, powerful country. And we have to understand, every nation recognizes the authority of the ambassador based upon the host country or the home country of who that ambassador represents. You see, it won't just be the ambassador that they have to contend with when things go bad. Right now, things aren't looking too good in Iran. And Iran is, and all of the political mess going on over there and the attacks on our bases and all this and that. But you see, it's not the words of the ambassador from the United States to the country of Iran that it's the big deal. It's who that ambassador represents. You see, there are numerous spiritual blessings that we receive just because we are ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There are certain things that we have at our disposal because of who we are representing. You see, it's natural if our father or our grandfather dies that we receive an inheritance just because of who we are. Recently, we had Brother Paul Smith, Brother Benjamin Smith's grandfather, pass away. It's not my grandfather that passed away. It's Brother Benjamin's. So I shouldn't line up at the door of Sister Smith, Paul Smith's wife, and say, "Listen, where's my inheritance?" I knew Paul. I saw him a couple times a year. I think I met him at the grocery store once. I shook his hand. No. We would look at that and say, where do you get off thinking you should? No. I don't have the same name. Even if I did have the same name, it needs to be the bloodline. See, that's what makes our relationship with God so powerful. Is because he's our father, we share the same bloodline. So when he speaks prophetic words over his children, that's us. That's you and me. You see, Matthew 11:12, Jesus says there's other blessings. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence taketh it by force. We fight for the fullness of God's blessings for ourselves and our families by engaging in prophetic word in our spiritual battles. And you know what most of us try to do most of the time? When we fight a spiritual battle, we're trying to fight it with physical words. Not prophetic spiritual words. You know what I'm saying there? Are we understanding this tonight here? Listen, when we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, that means we can't use physical words our physical words to fight. We've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to connect ourselves. Our spirit has to connect with His spirit, because where God is taking us, if we don't learn how to properly fight the enemy, we're going to get our teeth kicked in every day. We got to learn how to fight this thing. You see, you may wonder whether there's any prophetic words over your life. The answer for that is yes. Yes. We spoke, our last series, we talked about Joshua, the book of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All your family, your children, all your grandchildren have this prophetic word spoken over them. We look and we say, well, I don't know, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Does that matter today in our society, all these prophetic words? I don't know, we always use Acts 2:39, this promise is unto you and to your children. So if God says the Holy Ghost is good enough for them back then, it's good enough for them and their children and to all that are far off, then I don't know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord with gladness. We're going to expect the blessings of God to flow through our lives because we're serving God. You see, when the enemy dares to mess with your family, decree this prophetic word, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When he tries to attack your finances, I've declared this before. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. God gave us a whole book of powerful words. The word and prophecy applies to the situation, whatever situation you're in. You need to get into the Word of God, seek it out, search it out, align your will with His will. And when you speak it, find it, declare it, remind God, is this not, am I not your child? But you see, if we're out refusing to burn bridges and we're out just living like heathens, we can't expect God to back up His word. You with me there? You see, we got to get into the Word of God, for this promise is unto you and your children. We read this, believe this, we declare it. But you see, we urgently need to embrace prophetic word in our life. We need weapons to wage the war against the enemy. As we speak the prophetic, understand something, our thoughts begin to change. As I've tried and started to try, it's not an overnight something you just learn, you do. It's something that you work at and you continue. But as I've continued to try to speak prophetic things into my life, our thoughts change and our actions begin to change. How we look at things begin to change. So when the enemy comes at you, you take the Word of God and you bash him in the face with it. It's brutal. He wants you dead. And I can't physically kill him, but I can spiritually smash him into oblivion. How do I do it? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. See, when we think the prophetic, we begin to speak the prophetic. As a man thinks, and our words become thoughts, or our thoughts become words. It's a process. If our musicians can come tonight, we think the prophetic, we speak the prophetic, we win the battle. We often talk of strongholds that we allow the enemy to build in our lives. And we're going to cover some of these strongholds in our next message on this Sunday morning, I believe. But I believe that as a church, if we can stand, we're fighting a war. We're fighting a war against spirits that are seeking to destroy our lives. And just as people that don't have the Holy Ghost can allow strongholds to build in their lives, we as Christians, we can allow the enemy brick by brick by brick by brick to begin to build strongholds in our lives. We're not going to get into all of this tonight or any of this tonight, but we have to understand when we habitually think wrong thoughts, we can either think right thoughts or wrong thoughts. When we begin to think wrong thoughts, then we allow the enemy to start building within our life a stronghold. I don't want to give the enemy 1 inch of my mind. I don't want to give him 1 inch of my heart. I don't want to give him 1 inch in my life. Because I understand how the enemy works. You give him an inch and he's going to take much, much more than that inch. And as we enter into this fast, listen, we're going to be facing, right now it's media. We're facing all kinds of struggles with media. I recently read a survey where they talked about people that have withdrawals from their cell phones. It's the same type of symptoms of withdrawal from heroin and cocaine. Their mind. They get nervous. And all of these things, these are things we're battling right now, but next week we're going to combine. If you want to continue, I'm going to go 3 weeks. I want to skip the media all 3 weeks. Because I know what's going to happen. If I go back to media next week, then it's not going to have the same effect. So I want to combine them because I want to grow. I want to become more powerful. I'm not just going to go through 21 days of fasting just because. But next week, it's going to be a different battle. It's going to be a hunger battle with our flesh. And this builds. And the enemy's going to come to you. He's going to come to each one of us in different ways, and he's going to attempt to start planting strongholds in our life. Listen, you don't think the enemy can plant strongholds in the middle of a fast? Oh, yeah. Because that's when we become most vulnerable. And that's when he becomes most active. So this is a little bit of a warning, a spiritual warning. As we get through just Wednesday, we're through Sunday night, midnight through Wednesday. But as the fast progresses, the enemy is going to get much more aggressive in our lives. I'm just telling you, this is what's coming. And we need to get ready for that. So I just want to open up this altar tonight. Just as an opportunity for us to just come down together as a church and pray. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what strongholds perhaps you're fighting. I don't know where your mind is. I don't know where your heart is. God is pulling us to another level. Urgently, church. Urgently. It's not just, well, if we get it, so we get it. If we don't, so we don't. No. This is urgent. There's an urgency behind this. So as our Sister Simmons begins to sing, I just want to open up as an opportunity to just pray, refurbish, rebuild, get that strength. Thank you. remind God words that He's spoken, promises He's made,
behold the one,
prophetic things, words that have been spoken.
Your heart.